We're losing!
Teamwork, guys, more teamwork.
They're burying us alive!
Eddie Shore?
Oh, piss on Eddie Shore!
Old-time hockey?
Piss on old-time hockey! You're blowing it!
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Hey, it's Beans, and I'd live for this.
Up with it again. He's on the ice with Aginla. Aginla scores it!
The Hockey Show, Thursdays at 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM, because we all live for this.
Hey, want to join the team? Hockey Helps the Homeless comes to Winnipeg on December 5th and 6th. Join the Babich brothers, Lori Boschman, Trevor Kidd, and many more stars as they hit the ice at Seven Oaks Arena to raise funds and support for Winnipeg's most vulnerable residents. Become a tournament sponsor, support players or teams, or volunteer your time. Go to hhth.com for complete details. Hockey Helps the Homeless is proudly presented by Canada Life and is a registered Canadian charity.
Hi, Jim Carr again. Dennis, I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey. What is slashing?
Slashing is like that.
And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah, and for a trip also, you know, like that, and for hook, like this, and for spear, you know, like that. All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
It might not be the right time. I might not be the right one. But there's something about us I want to say. 'Cause there's something between us anyway. I might not be the right one. It might not be the right time. But there's something about us I've got to do. Some kind of secret I will share with you. I need you more than anything in my life.
Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio hockey show that strictly talks about the sport in question. Happy to have you along, everybody. We are going to have a big show here tonight as our guest has arrived and has made it in. I'm going to fade out our lead-in song here, and we're going to get right into the interview as we welcome a gentleman that I'm excited to talk to. So let's get into this right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined tonight by a player who has navigated his way through the Manitoba hockey scene to reach the Western Hockey League, where he appeared in 161 games in his WHL career. He finished his career in Saskatchewan before deciding to take advantage of the WHL scholarship program by enrolling here at the University of Manitoba after being recruited by Bison's head coach, Mike Sarand. While there are big shoes to fill following the likes of Steve Christie and Byron Spriggs, I feel he's going to probably end up writing his own version of history into the Bison record books before he gets out of the school. The Hockey Show is humbled. We're proud, we're honored, and we are privileged to welcome Tyler Brown to the program. Tyler, how are you?
I'm excellent after that intro.
There you go.
That was awesome.
Yeah, there you go. We make sure we hit on all the important stuff to get you ready for that. Not going to waste any time, though. We're going to start right at the beginning. Go way back. I guess not way back now, but going to go back to March 29th, 1997, when a bouncing baby boy joined the Brown household. What was life like for you, Tyler, growing up? And, you know, give us an idea as to what daily life was like for childhood Tyler.
It was pretty normal. You know, I wasn't on the ice until I was 6 years old.
Okay.
Right? I see a lot of kids nowadays are out there at 3 and 4.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have two brothers. They're both younger than I am, so I had a bit of an advantage in the hockey scene growing up as well. But, I went to Darwin School and then graduated at Dakota Collegiate and then made my way through the Western League in here.
Awesome. In terms of playing hockey, then, normally we've heard the stories and you know, hear the... the tales of how the youngest usually gets thrown in net because the two older kids want to take shots and stuff. How did you get to choose to be net then? How did you figure out that goaltending was what you wanted to
do? You know what? It was still that way growing up.
Yeah?
We always threw my youngest brother, and you know what? He used to be chubby when he was younger, so like we're like, oh, you're chubby. It's okay. Like you'll never feel it. But you know, now we look back at it, we probably shouldn't have done that to
him. Sure, yeah. That's...
But yeah, no, when... I started playing goalie when I was 7.
Okay.
Right? There was no set goaltender for the team. And I just got to throw on the pads a couple of games. And I had a lot of fun doing it. And I thought I was better than I was at player.
Right on.
So I stuck with it through 8 and so forth. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's good then. Good to hear that you found something that obviously that you like to do. Any other sports that you played growing up? Do you play any sports, any additional sports now that help you out with the goaltending in terms of, you know, movement? And
yeah. I tried out soccer when I was like younger. I played that for a couple of years. I played lacrosse. Bantam years, something like that. You know, got me a little aggressive because I was always the smallest guy, like 5 feet throughout until I was about 12 years old. So,
okay.
And I also play ball hockey and inline hockey.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, love the game. You know, can't step away from it, really.
No, that's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
As you said, attended Dakota Collegiate here in the city in terms of going to high school. Favorite subject not named phys ed?
I'm big into pretty much anything science.
Yeah?
Yeah, biology related. Yeah.
We talking like med school eventually? Oh, okay.
No. I'm thinking about physical therapy and
okay.
stuff like
that's
that.
That's fair, yeah.
Anatomy. No, we'll call it anatomy.
Then. I was going to say, everything I read, and I mean, again, you mentioned a number of times in an article, kinesiology is where you wanted to head anyway. It's still the goal in terms of getting there?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm still in university one, so I have another year here, but yeah.
Okay, right on. Let's get into the hockey side of it, because you started with the Winnipeg Warriors Bantam AAA program.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, getting noticed, and certainly your goaltending career started taking off. And then you graduated up to the Winnipeg Wild Midget AAA program, where you ended up winning in an MMJHL championship, I understand. What stands out most to you from those two hockey programs? What do you remember the best from that time?
Yeah, I remember my coach in our Bantam year, that was our draft year,
yeah.
Glenn Burke.
Yeah.
You know, he was a little bit of an oddball, we'll call it that. you know, old school hockey for
okay.
sure.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, we skated after every drill in practice.
Okay.
We played off the glass and out and dump in and chase, but we still won hockey games just from his theory of just working hard.
That's awesome.
So, you know, that helped out a lot of guys in that program, I think. And, you know, once we learned some more systems when we were older, and you know, we put everything together, I think that was huge for us.
Right on.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's awesome to win, so congratulations on that. That's cool. Among the handful of players who appear on both rosters, guys that you grew up with, guys that you played hockey with, is one guy that I actually really enjoyed talking to. We've had him here on the show before, Mark Tereschuk.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about Mark as a player, as a youngster? And have you met him here? He's going to school here. Have you met him on campus yet?
I have.
Right on.
You know, last year I took the bus to and from school, and sometimes I see Terry on the bus.
Nice.
Yeah, obviously we catch up almost every time. And he was our captain back then, right?
Oh, okay.
He always wanted to be the leader. You know, he always wanted to be in the front of the line.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he always wanted to show the boys the way, and, you know, and he was good for that. And, you know, he wasn't too overconfident with that stuff. He just knew that he was a leader and what he had to do.
Mark, if you're looking for Mark's interview, we had him on last year before the RBC Cup when him and the Steinbach Pistons went out there to compete out in BC for that. So if you're looking for that, scroll back in the podcast information. We'll have him on there. I can pull that information up later for people that are looking for it. Let's get into the big stuff now, because this is where hockey took off in terms of getting you out of the city and into the bright lights of the WHL. 2014-15 saw you move away from home as you made your WHL debut, with the Regina Pats. You saw action in 19 games that year, including an important one on October 18th, 2014. Why is that day important?
That was probably my first start.
No.
My first win?
Correct. Do you remember who was against?
Lethbridge.
Walk us through that. What happened that night, that day? Because it was a pretty big victory for you guys that day.
You know what? I couldn't tell you about the day because it was on the road and I was probably sleeping most of the time.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, but, you know, leading up to it, I had my brand new Beats headphones going. You know, I had tunes blasting in my ears.
Nice.
And I was just trying to get all my nerves out, right? Like, never stepped on a WHL ice surface before this game. So I was feeling it a little bit. And then one of my first shots on goal was one of their best players. So that got me right into the game, made that save. And I got scored on the next one, I'm pretty sure. And then everything was pretty much out of my system by then. And, you know, I just started playing my game.
6-1 win that day for you. So congratulations. That's a big win for you in terms of getting started. For you, what was the biggest change? What was the biggest challenge that you faced, that you noticed in jumping from midget hockey right into Canadian Major Junior Hockey?
Pretty much, like, the way the guys move the puck out there.
Yeah.
Like, they don't mess up. They're almost pro hockey players, and you know it, everything's tape to tape and then off the stick. So if you're falling behind on the play, you know you're probably not going to end up on the right side of the play.
chasing the puck for a while,
yeah,
at that point.
Yeah.
You were paired in net with a guy that Regina acquired one season earlier, in Daniel Wappel. What kind of relationship did you and Daniel have, and how much did he help you with that transition into the WHL?
Yeah, he was great. I'll call him Wops.
He's
my buddy, and you know, he's an absolute clown. You know, love to be around the guy. You know, he's a bit more loose than most goalies. You know, kind of serious, Captain Serious. But Wops would come out with a sock on his head and playing a fake guitar that he made out of Kleenex boxes and stuff like that.
So
you
nice.
Know, it's always a fun time to be around the guy. And you know, when it comes down to the hockey side, like during games, he like kind of come up to me. He's like, this is what I should have done. Like, could have done this. And you know what? I took that in every time that he came to the bench, kind of reflecting on himself so that I could take that into my game the next time that I got a start.
He was, again, older than you by a couple years. Surprisingly, the following year, Pats decided to go younger with you guys. So you and Jordan Hollett got the tandem call that year as the 20-year-old Wappel was traded to Vancouver. Obviously, it opened the door for you to jump in and try and take the crease away, which you did. You played 50 games that year, 21-19-6 with a .315 goals against average and a .909 save percentage. What's it like going to? What's it like being the new guy in year one to being the guy in year two?
Pressure. Pressure.
No doubt, yeah.
That's the biggest thing. You know, you could see that it was pretty much .500 in that first year, so we had a lot of ups and downs. But in my 19-year-old year, we were expected to win. So every night, I had to go out there with a mindset of winning. And that was probably the toughest thing right there, was just the pressure of having to win.
So, I mean, I know it's always, it's, you know, win or die, basically, in the WHL. If you don't win, you're probably not going to do well in any facet of the game. Jordan came in. He's a 16-year-old, you know, 17, mm-hmm. You know, you're basically an 18-year-old. Like, how do you two, like, what's the relationship like between you two when you're like, oh man, like we just got shellacked, like we had to go out there and do that again?
Yeah, me and Herb, we were always roommates. John always put us together in the room, so we were like best friends. Like, everything that happened on the ice, like, we would talk about it. If if we want to change something in our game, like, we'd discuss it, even bring our goalie coach or even John into it sometimes. So, you know, everything was pretty much interchangeable between the two of us.
Oh, that's good.
We just reflect on everything and, you know, share our thoughts.
Roll with the punches, get ready for the next game.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on.
It's a quick turnaround. Like, you play 3, sometimes 4 games a week.
Yeah.
So you can't really dwell on your losses or a bad game or even a bad goal, right?
Well, and they say, like, goaltenders got to learn to erase that from the memory sort of thing or whatever.
Exactly.
At that point, if you're in the WHL, you better have that skill down, I guess, right?
Yeah. So,
that season was big. Well, obviously, you got to see guys that we know thanks to their NHL careers. Guys by the name of, you know, Nolan Patrick, Matthew Barzal, Braden Point, all those guys played against you that year. So, how do you mentally and physically prepare for that kind of onslaught when we're talking about guys that put up, those three guys alone put up a combined 277 points that year?
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, they were just draft picks back then, right?
Right, yeah.
But at that point, they were just my opponents, right? And, you know, our top line would take care of them, right? Or wherever they were matched up, right? My job is to just stop the puck.
All right.
Right? Yeah.
Do you change your training regimen? I mean, obviously, you know, going from midget to junior, you're going to change a little bit. But how much, looking back, how much did it change between, hey, I'm a champion in the MMJ, and now I'm just a guy in the dub that's trying to make his way through it?
My training actually changed when I was 15.
Okay.
I got cut from the Warriors program,
okay,
City Midget. So I ended up playing Monarchs, and I didn't want to play City Midget again. I wanted to make the Wild. Like, this was kind of like a blip. So after that year, I started going to the Elite Performance, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. And I was there at least four times a week, five times a week mostly. Changed my diet, changed my on ice, and, you know, I gained about 20 pounds and a couple inches so that I could battle in that MMHL league and, you know, hopefully earn a spot in junior somewhere. Because at that point, I also wasn't... I wasn't with the Pats, and I wasn't with the Blues as well. So,
right.
Yeah, something had to change that year.
Right on. No, yeah. that's good to hear that, you yeah. know, things you had to, you know, under wraps early in your career.
Yeah, it was like, it was humbling, really. It was just like, you got to pick up your socks if you really want to be the guy, so.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, again, people always say, you know, failure, you know, mistakes, you know, people got to learn from. I mean, it sounds like that setback really sort of drove home the point for you.
Yeah, it did. And obviously my parents helped me out with that. Like, it's not cheap to go to those kinds of places,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be forever thankful for that.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Again, you got that team that you were on, the Pats, they were growing together. I mean, you guys started off, you know, fairly young in terms of the first year, second year, third year. The emergence of players like Sam Steele were already underway. He and Adam Brooks had a phenomenal run together on that team on the Regina Pats team, along with guys like Connor Hobbs, Austin Wagner, and Jake Lechishin. How much fun did you have just hanging out with the guys and playing every night and knowing that, you know what, every game, every year, we're getting better. We're gonna take this league at some point.
Yeah, just those guys right there. That's like the core of our team back then. And, you know, if one guy wasn't having a good game, you know, one of the other guys was going to have a good game. And we didn't have to worry, right? Like, everyone had their role. Like, we were coached in a way that, like, it's okay to mess up, all right?
Yeah.
But you got to pick up your socks. So, yeah, Sam, unbelievable player. Jake is an unbelievable player. Like, those are three, and Adam Brooks, right?
Yeah.
Those are our top three centers.
Like, yeah.
It's not going to get much better than that, right?
Well, I mean, Adam and Sam had seasons of 130 and 131 points,
yeah.
respectively. So, I mean, that's a pretty good year for anybody, let
that's
alone two
bad.
Guys on the same team.
That's
so.
Not bad.
Obviously things are going well. 2016-2017 saw you playing 50 games again. However, the record was entirely different. You amassed a 33-8-1 record with a 264 goals against average, a 9-11 save percentage, 5 shutouts, while helping Regina to a franchise record 52 victories, which has yet to be equaled. How much fun was it that year knowing that, hey, we're pretty good, and then we went out and won the East Division, and we were first overall in the WHL?
That was a lot of fun. You know, when we did get on those rolls, right, a little bit of pressure was lifted off of your shoulders every night. And, you know, that's the season that Sam and Brooksy had 130 points.
Yeah,
right?
They racked it up that year.
And it was just fun watching them go play and literally just skate circles around people. Like... Yeah, there's just a lot of skilled players, you know, and I get to practice with them too, right?
Yeah.
So they're getting me to another level where I wasn't before. So, you know, coaches enjoyed it too because they were winning. Right?
Sure, yeah.
So that makes it a lot
of pressure
fun.
Off them too, yeah.
Makes it a lot more fun for us as well.
We're going to go through, I'm not the whole season by any means, but we're going to go through the playoffs a little bit because you guys had a pretty good playoff run. Swept Calgary. The Hitmen were swept out of the playoffs by you guys. You guys ended up scoring 5 goals in all 4 games and didn't give them very many. In fact, they didn't score more than 2 in any game. However, you fall behind 3-1 to Swift Current on the strength of 3 Broncos OT wins. Including a game 4-5-4, a triple overtime loss where you stopped 64 shots.
That was crazy.
That does sound crazy. We'll talk about that in a second. But you guys stormed back to win the next 3 consecutive games by a combined 13-6 against them, including a game 6 comeback where you trailed 3-1 in the second period before, and here's where we'll start with the individual game. You made a monster save on a breakaway on Broncos captain Glenn Godden.
I remember that.
Yeah, I hope you do.
That's
many have said that was the turning point in that game and possibly the series. Take us back to that night where you made that save and walk us through what's going through your head at that point.
That in my head when he was coming down on me, I was like, I better stop this guy, right? And because we got nothing else, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's undescribable, right? Because you have so many emotions playing in the playoffs there, and having a record of 52 wins and you're out in the second round just doesn't sit well with you.
No, right? Yeah, but definitely not.
So when he came down there, I didn't really expect him what to do, because I'm pretty sure he had like 40, 45 goals or more that year.
Yeah.
And I expected a shot, right? Because the first couple of games, they got a couple weak ones on me, and they were trying to take advantage of that, especially in that overtime game.
Yes.
That triple overtime one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I had to pull all the marbles together right there and stop that guy in that moment. And then it was a turning point. Like, Austin Wagner scored a goal, and I think Brooksy scored a goal before the end of the second period.
Correct,
there.
Yeah, tied it up 3-3, yeah.
And then that was a tie game, so that was a new series for us right there. And everything just started to click together after that, I feel like.
The triple overtime game, we've had a couple of long games here. We've seen long games here in terms of the women's side. They've played a long game out in Saskatchewan as well in terms of a ridiculous, you know, five overtime game out there. We hear about, you know, all the issues that players go through at that point, but whether it's fatigue or just, you know, I need something to eat, I got to find something to eat. Triple overtime, though, you're sitting in the room before the third overtime starts. What's the message from John Paddock? What's going on in the room at that point?
Hammer this pizza, boys, because you're going to need it. Pretty much. I don't really remember what he said, if he said anything at that point, because we're all laying on the ground with our legs up,
right,
with a piece of pizza in our mouth, trying to keep the calories in there. So, yeah, that was a battle. We were on the road too, so. Made it extra hard, extra fun as well too.
I've no doubt that would. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. So, you guys didn't make it easy on yourself in the next series either. You fell behind 2-1 against Lethbridge before rattling off 3 straight wins to advance the WHL final. Excuse me, and earn the Pats' first Eastern Conference title since 1984, which is a fantastic setup there because that's what. 100 years between those Eastern Conference finals. So you guys seem to be the team that just wouldn't die that year, though. Every time you guys got down, seemed to rally back, seemed to get everything going. What do you remember most about the guys in the locker room and the feeling in the locker room when you're down 3-1 against the Broncos and 2-1 against Lethbridge?
It was mainly our top guys and our leaders, and like basically they stood up and like, we are better, right? We have more, we are better. Let's just go out and do it, right? And then we adjusted a couple of things with the coaches there, and everything just like, as soon as we got one thing right, then the next thing came, and the next thing
sure,
came, right?
Yeah.
We were all good enough players to figure that out, and I don't know what the scores were in those two games, but I didn't feel like I was on top of my game in that Lethbridge series.
I think there was one overtime loss, and another one was a 2-goal deficit.
Yeah,
so.
I may have slammed my stick one of those games too. So.
That's okay.
You can see where it goes there.
That's all right. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's okay. So no feeling of worry or like uh-oh at that point. Like, I mean, you're down 3-1 in the first, and I can understand if it crept in, but once you got over the hump.
Yeah, the only uh-oh was that 3-1.
Okay.
In Swift Current there.
Yeah. But
in my body anyways.
Well, yeah.
I don't know about the other guys too much, but.
Is there, I mean, for you, I mean, obviously you've had a great season, 33 wins that year, excuse me, and you're down 3 with 3 losses, obviously in 4 games, not really doing so well. Like, did Swift Current just have your number in the first 3 games, or what? Like, what was going on that led to the deficit?
We were right there pretty much all those games.
Yeah,
Paperny was hot.
Like, yeah,
he was making a lot of good saves. Definitely stole them a couple games there, and. Yeah, they're just a good team. Like they were nonstop too. Like they were very hard on the puck, and they had some really good, a really good power play too.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we got into penalty troubles. And,
sure, yeah, yeah.
That could really change the series right there.
Are you excited about seeing Paperny again this year?
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see all those goalies that I used to battle against.
You know, renew the rivalry?
Yeah. Well, I was hoping Sachenko too, but I seen he signed pro.
Yeah, so. He's down in San Jose now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jordan's out in Calgary, so we'll see what happens with that coming up. If you're just tuning in, we're here with Tyler Brown, goaltender for the Manitoba Bisons, talking about his WHL career. I have to ask you about another specific game, namely April 30th. I'm not sure if you remember this from the playoff series, but in Game 6 against Lethbridge, with you guys leading 6-4, with Regina leading 6-4, a rarely used rule was called into play. I don't know if you remember this, but with 1:09 to play, the Hurricanes were awarded a penalty shot.
Oh, yeah.
Lethbridge's leading scorer, Tyler Wong, came over the boards, broke in on you on the penalty shot, and you actually stopped his attempt, but the net became dislodged when you kicked your right leg out during the deke. And the referees went to the rule book, and I had no idea that, I mean, I know they can go to the rule book and look things up, but according to the WHL rule book, rule 24.4 says and reads as follows. During the shot, should the goaltender attempt to making a save dislodge the goal accidentally, the referee shall make one of the following determinations. Clause 2 of that rule states, allow the shot to be retaken if he does not score, or it could not be determined if the puck would have entered the net normally while occupied in the net. So Tyler was given a second penalty shot. One of the rare occasions where there's back-to-back penalty shots. First of all, did you know that this wasn't like this was going to be a rule that
I had no idea about the rule.
Okay,
but I know that like the fans when we were away, I would always get heckled about the post coming off because I'm very strong.
Sure.
on my post.
Yep.
So I probably knocked it off a couple more times that game.
Okay,
which led to that rule going into play there.
You stopped the first. Well, the first one was stopped in terms of what went on. Second one you stopped as well, which was huge because you guys scored an empty netter after that to seal the deal and eliminate Lethbridge in a 7-5 victory.
Mm-hmm.
Is there questions that you have for the referees at that point? Like not at the like during the game when they come out and they go, yeah, we're going to award another penalty shot or whatever. Like, does the game stop so everybody can get an explanation? Or
I don't remember. I probably just gave the ref like, what are you
doing?
Yeah,
well, what the heck, right?
Like, what are you doing? I stopped this guy. So I was like, stop him again.
So yeah, I mean, it was big though because he stopped him twice and then ended up winning and obviously winning the Eastern Conference title. I don't want to reopen any old wounds with this question, but unfortunately, you guys fell in the WHL final that year to Seattle. Seattle Thunderbirds won that year. What happened with the final after it seemed like you guys couldn't lose in the playoffs?
Finals. That was a tough series.
Yeah.
You know, they, especially their top line, was exceptional with Barzal there. And I think our bodies were wearing down. Mine was worn down. Adam had torn MCL. Wags had a separated shoulder. Nick Henry had a separated shoulder. I think the only healthy people on our team was our defenseman, which is the weirdest thing because usually they're the banged up ones. But you know, there's no excuses. Like, we still battled hard every night.
Yeah,
and
games were close. It wasn't like you guys got blown out.
Games
so
were
yeah.
close. Yeah, yeah. I think penalties was probably the turning point in those games.
I mean, that's okay. I mean, obviously, it's not good to lose, but obviously, it's good. You guys had an outstanding season that year. So, I mean, congratulations on all the success you had that year. You admittedly, as we move into 2017-2018, admittedly, in a couple of interviews, stated that you were looking forward to the Memorial Cup season in 2017-2018, where Regina was the host of the annual tournament. I think that would have been pretty awesome. Season started a little slowly for you. You admitted to giving up a few bad goals early in the season, led to some losses. But things appeared to be rounding into form. The season pressed on. But on January 10th, 2018, everything changed. That day is that circled on your calendar still? Do you remember that day?
I'll remember that day, yeah. In a way, in the back of your mind, with all the 20-year-olds being bounced around. And that trade deadline was crazy. It was it was still in the back of my mind, no matter how much I admitted that it wasn't. But yeah, that was a tough pill to swallow.
So January 10th, 2018, the Pats dealt you, Brian Lochner, and a bunch of picks to Saskatoon in exchange for a pile of players they wanted, but one specific 20-year-old coming back. Because of the 20-year-old rule, the overage rule in the WHL, they had to move a 20-year-old, and unfortunately Saskatoon offered a goaltender back, and that made you, I don't want to say expendable, but it made
expendable.
It easier made it easier to trade you at that point.
Yeah.
Rob Vanstone of the Regina Leader Press wrote that you were quote unquote shocked by the trade that required the Pats to move you. Did you ever think, or was there any indication going into the season that the Pats would even consider moving you?
It is shocking because, like, even though it's in the back of your head, like, you never want to admit it that it's going to happen to you, right? Because Four years is a long time.
Yeah.
I guess 3.5 years is a long time. And, you know, it was just tough. That's as much as I can say. Like,
well, no, I mean, that's fair. I mean, like you said, 3.5 years, you've basically grown into the city and the city's grown around you. So,
yeah. And, you know, the relationship that I had with John, like, he still had faith in me no matter, like, he would always tell me, like, if I let in a tough goal or had a tough game, like, he had faith in me that I would go out and battle as hard as I could to go get that game back for us, right? And he was also the general manager, so that obviously pulled some things into it as well. So,
I mean, you don't have to get into specifics, but describe your relationship with John then.
John, not a very talkative man.
No, he seems fairly intense. For those who don't know, we're referencing former Winnipeg Jets head coach John Paddock, who is now the GM and the coach for the Regina Pats. But he seems like he's like super intense but quiet.
Yeah, he is intense, but like he's approachable. So like if you need to ask him something or you need something from him, like you can go to him, but he'll be straight to the point, pretty much.
Yeah, no, every time. No dancing around the subject. He goes cuts straight to the bone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, he's a very nice man. Like, there's nothing bad you can say about them.
No,
the guy, okay. Obviously, but yeah, he was great to all of us. Like, no matter your role on the team, like he's just a great coach to all of us.
One gentleman who played a large factor in how far your career went and how good you've been. He's a gentleman by the name of Robert Montaigne. Rob's the goalie coach in Regina. How important has Robert been to your career so far?
Very important. I never had a goalie coach that came out to at least like a couple practices a week to kind of show me like what my habits were and what I just needed to slightly adjust. In my 19-year-old year, our record year, I started playing on my knees a lot more just because of some of the goals that were coming off of the side there, off the post, you know, and it probably saved us a couple of games there. And, you know, I can't play like that anymore. I can't. But, you know, that was fantastic for us to, like, I would never have think of that.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, right? So, you know, it's always good to have him there. And he always had my back as well. So
right on. That's great. Awesome. Do you still keep in touch with Rob? Yeah.
Every once in a while. Yeah. Yeah. Not too much, though.
So. So you finished the season with Saskatoon Blades that year after the trade, obviously not in the place you started, but just down the road, which is tough because that's arch rival and things are a little heated between those two clubs anyway. But you went 4-4-0 in 9 games with the rebuilding Blades. And again, they admittedly were rebuilding at that point, but used extremely sparingly. How tough is it to sort of go from being the starter and the guy in one city to going to be the, well, we got this other guy who can play?
Yeah. I was hurting.
Yeah.
I was hurting.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I was in December, that's when I started kind of complaining about my hip. And when I got to Saskatoon, it just got worse from then. So I went to the coach. I was like, hey, how come like I'm not playing too much? And he's like, it's not my decision, but you know, we want you here no matter what. Nolan is you know, if you've seen his numbers, he's a fantastic goaltender.
Yeah, we'll talk about Nolan in a second, yeah.
Yeah, so he's just like, we need you to be a leader here. We need you to bring some experience to these guys that haven't made it to the playoffs yet, right? And we have a young core here that wants to hear from you and Dawson as well. So we'd like to keep you around for that.
And you're okay with
it?
Again,
I was okay with it because I didn't want to give up on any opportunities from the WHL, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to miss out on the like the big games, like the big arenas.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I never wanted to miss out on any of that. So I had no problem watching the hockey games as long as I got to compete, like, every once in a while. And, you know, I got to compete in practice, too, because there's still, like, Kirby Doc to practice with. So,
for sure.
Yeah. Didn't want to miss out on the WHL.
Right on.
That was it. I had no problems with it.
No, that's good. Yeah. And like I said, I mean, some guys, you know, sulk a little bit and go, I don't really my thing or whatever.
Not a sulker.
Okay, good. That's good. You're willing to accept the role they gave you, which is good to see on that, Tyler.
Yeah.
You did get, as you mentioned, you did see a 16-year-old kid named Nolan Mayer play a lot that year. Looks like he's going to be a pretty good goalie. Seems like he's got a good future ahead of him. In getting to know him, what stands out most about Nolan that you remember?
Nolan's got confidence.
Yeah?
Yeah, Nolan's got confidence. You know, he hasn't backed down from anything, and he's got the drive to do it. So if coach tells him to go do something, he's going to do it 10 times better than he asks him to do it.
Nice.
It's pretty much as simple as that.
Did win a Hlinka Cup in terms of playing with Canada as well, so it looks like the kid's going to have a bit of a future. He's ranked on the central scouting and all the different scout boards and everything right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not bad to end up playing with a guy who may go on to bigger and better and maybe learned a little bit from you. Does that make you feel?
I hope so.
That's all right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. We did talk a lot through those couple months that we were together. And,
yeah.
You know, I hope that he takes something away from me like I did with Wops and Wops.
Yeah. If we stick with former Winnipeg Jets, perhaps influencing your career, goalie coach in Saskatoon was none other than former Winnipeg Jet Tim Chevalier. What was it like working with Tim in your brief stint in Saskatoon?
Tim was great.
Yeah.
You know, he was at every practice, and you know, his goaltender drills like were very tailored towards mine and Nolan's play of style.
Right.
Right. So it was a little bit crazy sometimes. Like after practice, we'd be out there for half an hour or so just working on goalie drills and be like, Chevy, I'm dead, man. Like, can I go home yet? So, but it actually helped a lot. Like the last three games that I played with Saskatoon, like I put those things that he taught me together in the last month or so.
Yeah.
And I just went out and I played and it worked out. Like I felt great on the ice. So.
You guys had a pretty good run at the end there. You guys almost made the playoffs. well, again, not to take nothing away from you guys. You guys chased down a bunch of teams and were looking to almost make the playoffs there. And you ended up with a record that was two games over 500, despite being traded to a team that was far under 500 when you got there. So obviously something went right there and you guys were doing things right. Personally, I don't know if it was a bigger honor. Maybe I'm wrong. You can correct me if I am wrong. But I don't know if there's a bigger honor than having a teammate pick up the puck for the final game in your career and skate it over to you and basically hand it to you. Braylon Schmier stated, this is for Brownie. It was Brownie's last game because, you know, he's a 20-year-old. He had a hell of a career, and I just thought that paid respect for him. Do you still have that puck?
I do. It's in my room. Yeah, and
I know you tried to downplay it in the media when you were like, no, it's for everybody. Don't worry. Like, how special is that, though, to you when you see a guy skate over and just go, hey, man, like, thanks for everything?
Yeah, it was great because, you know, as a 20-year-old, we're kind of our own separate group there, right? And, you know, he knew that it was a little bit tougher, you know, watching me just sit on the bench and, you know, but also be a leader. So, like, he just wanted me to have something that he's like, hey, man, like, thank you for being a good teammate and thank you for playing for us and stuff like that. So it was great.
You got a pretty good chance to stand out and wave to the crowd as you skated out in that last game too. So I mean, it seems like everybody did appreciate you know, despite the fact you didn't play a lot, everybody appreciated the fact that you were there and did your job. So that's awesome. Let's move forward a little bit here, because now you begin your battle in Canada West with the Bisons this year. A lot of former WHL players across the conference. Is there anyone you're looking forward to seeing? And is there anyone you're not looking forward to seeing? the not part doesn't have to be about hatred, just maybe like, we had a rivalry and I want to win this rivalry. But, you know, like, anybody that you're sort of former teammates, former...
Off the top of my head... The guy on Saskatoon, Regina, he's a right-handed shot, and he scored a lot of goals on me when he was in Kootenay. I can't pick his name out because he was...
I will look it up here for you.
He was dangerous at all times on the ice there. I can't think of his name.
But, let's find out what he's got here.
But I'll see him next weekend.
Certainly will, because you guys are playing a number. Here we are. Here's the roster. Is it Kootenay?
He was in Kootenay.
Landon Peel?
No. Oh. He was like a 40-goal scorer. He was like a 40-goal scorer.
Zach McPhee is the other one that I can see. And Tyler King. No?
Nope.
Tyler King's
a defensive. He's a hometown boy in Regina, too.
Really?
Yeah. Zabrowski. Zach Zabrowski.
Oh, Zach. You know, they have him listed as Lethbridge as his last team, so...
I'm pretty sure he's in Regina.
Well, no, he's from Regina, but they have him listed as Lethbridge, the Lethbridge Hurricanes, as his last WHL team. So,
oh yeah, probably.
Okay, yeah. So they, you know, Zach, don't feel bad. Zach scored on a bunch of people last year, including a lot of Bisons.
Yeah, he's a good player. My teammates that I've had throughout the years, most of them went pro.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with saying that. I mean, that's a pretty good team you were on. So,
that might be the only weapon that I look forward to / don't look forward to seeing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Any, you know, skate over to him beginning of the game and just go, hey, man, take it easy on me? Is that...
No. I won't do that. Like, I've never said a word to him in my life. But.
All right. That's fair. No, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Any significance to the number 31 that you wore in the WHL? Was it handed to you or did you pick it?
No, I picked it because growing up, I was number one. That was my only option.
Okay.
And then when I got to the Wild, I was 35. And I also liked Martin Brodeur, which was number 30.
Okay.
So I had to combine all those numbers together just to try and make the 31. And I thought it fit well for me, too.
So are you going to stick with Brodeur? Because you're listed as number 30 with the Bisons right now.
I'm 35 again.
Oh, you're 35?
I'm 35,
So a little bit of a jersey change.
I want to be like Byron.
There you go. Nice. Byron Spriggs getting a reference. I like it. Obviously, the University of Regina being a rival of the Bisons, and we don't talk much about them because to the Cougars. The Regina that was emblazoned on your mask will likely have to be changed. Is there any hints as to what a new Tyler Brown and Manitoba Bisons mask will look like?
It'll be plain white.
Oh, going with the white, eh?
Yeah, it'll be plain white. I haven't asked Mike, but I don't think anyone's really had a painted mask for the last little while here. It's pretty expensive to get done.
I agree. I'm not going to deny that. I was just trying to think if there was anybody that maybe had one, but I think maybe Steve had one. Mm-hmm. Steve Christie had one for a while, but he was all over the place. So.
Yeah, if I was into it, I'd definitely have to dive into the history books here and see what I could put on there.
Sure.
Because all of my Regina ones were like from images from like the 1900s and early PPCLI.
Yeah, we had a lot of military references on there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We had the first lieutenant colonel on there. You know, we had a couple action shots as well.
You did the breast cancer mask as well.
Yep.
Obviously, that, I mean, I'm not asking you to put out the money for a breast cancer mask or anything like that or whatever here, but raffled off, how much money that would make? Do you remember?
I think it was around $3,500.
Nice, that's good.
I have a post on my Instagram with the kid that won it. Which has the big check on it as well, if you want to check that out.
how can people find that? What's the Instagram?
My Instagram is TylerBrown31.
Okay,
yeah,
there we
pretty
go.
Simple.
Easy to find. Obviously, you said Broder, one of your idols growing up. Anybody else in terms of goaltending idols?
I liked Jonathan Quick when he was in those big-time Stanley Cup runs.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, Carey Price, you know, smoothest goaltender
around,
you know.
Favorite team?
Favorite team? The Jets.
Got to go with the Jets, eh?
Jets,
nothing wrong with
Jets
that.
For sure.
We asked these next few questions to all our guests, so we're going to keep it rolling here. These are a little bit tougher, but certainly things that you can put a little thought to if you want. If there's one superpower you could have, what superpower would it be?
Everyone says you want to fly.
That's the common answer, and the last few people have answered it with awesome answers, so I'll let you.
Yeah. Oh, that's a tough one. Everyone says you want to fly. Flying would be cool, but teleporting, maybe?
Okay.
Or like freaking laser beams.
Those would be good cool. Reference. I like it. You and three other people that are alive sit down for dinner. Who is sitting with you at that table?
Oh, this is a great question. I've been listening to a lot of Spit and Chiclets lately.
Okay.
So if those three guys could be at a table with me, I'd really enjoy that. But if I'll pick one, it would be Biz.
Okay. Sure. Paul Bissonnette. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to pick a movie star. Margaret Robbie, so I can hit on her.
Solid pick. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And, you know, if Freddie Mercury or Michael Jackson were still around, I'd love to talk to them as well.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be all right. That'd be a good pick.
Yeah, very artistic guys.
Make it a little harder on you, even though you've already picked one movie star. Hollywood calls and wants to do the Tyler Brown story. Who plays the lead character as Tyler Brown?
And I got to pick a Hollywood actor to play me.
Well, yeah, somebody who's going to represent you on the big screen.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah,
he's cool.
Nice. I was going to say there's not going to be any like major like you know jackass kind of accidents or anything we have to worry about for you.
Nope.
Okay, that's all right then. Good for you.
No, he's just a cool guy. Oh. He can beat me for a day.
That's all right. Pre-game meal for Tyler Brown consists of what?
Mostly chicken and pasta, pretty standard.
Yeah.
Sometimes I switch to shrimp, but chicken fills me up a little bit better.
All right.
I'm a big eater. I might not look like it, but I love to eat.
Well, let's keep going then, because what's a cheat day meal look like then?
Cheat day, fish and chips.
Oh, nice.
Fish and chips. My mom makes a killer bassa fillet.
Nice.
Breaded, deep
well
fried.
Well done, Mom.
And fries as well. They're still the store-bought frozen ones, but for some reason, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, no, nothing. Nobody's gonna fault you for that cheat day. That sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
Your goaltending tandem this year looks like it's going to be you and Riley Lamb. Did you guys ever play against each other in the dub?
We did. He was in Red Deer. We played Red Deer. I don't know if we were against him in the playoffs that one year, but four games this season. And we definitely had a couple battles there.
Favorite place to travel in the dub? What was the one city that stood out?
Lethbridge.
Yeah, really?
Lethbridge, yeah.
Why'd you like Lethbridge so much?
You know what? There's a hidden rivalry there. You know, I got into it with them in the media the one year, like unknowingly. I said that they were going to choke, and I don't know what was going through my head at the time. Like,
bulletin board material
Yeah. We just beat them, like, and I'm just like high on adrenaline. So Lethbridge was fun. That's where I got my first win. Yeah. Played a lot of games there. A lot of heated games, a lot of high-scoring games, a lot of low-scoring games.
Sure, yeah.
And you know what? I liked their ice. I liked the lights. I liked Lethbridge.
That's all right.
Just like going there. Love the feeling of going there. Pre-game meal was fantastic, too. It was catered from a place that usually we see throughout the league a little bit more too. But it was the best there for sure.
Are you going to make recommendations to Mike to get that catering done for you guys now?
Well, I gotta see what it is. I can't take the name off the top of my head.
No, that's fine. I mean, you don't have to. But are you going to make Mike?
Maybe we'll see.
Can we get a little of this tonight?
Maybe we'll see. We'll see what he has for us in store. I don't know what we get on the. I don't know what the road looks like yet. So
yeah, that's fair. No, yeah. That's totally fine. Place you most dreaded going to in terms of WHL cities?
Brandon.
Really?
Brandon. Yeah.
Even though it was close to home, family could come out there. It was the worst place to play.
Yeah, because we usually lost and. and I hated hearing their wind song. I was just like, oh, I got to hear the song again tonight. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was a tough place to play in. And the board sucked.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
How excited are you that there's an actual WHL team here in this city now?
I'm excited to play because I want to go watch.
Yeah.
Right? I want to see what it's like. And, you know, I'm a part of that company, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I still work.
I see you go to the rink and I work out at the rink.
And I still train there. So I want to see what they can do with it here. And it's a big market, obviously, and a big city for them. And it's exciting, you know. Maybe I could see a championship game here in the next couple of years.
You never know.
Who knows? Like, yeah, just want to come see him play.
What was your thoughts on Cranbrook? Did you enjoy going there? Was it not the best of places? Yeah. Like, again, we're not looking to trash the city or anything, but it's up to you in terms of what you want to say. But, I mean, it sounds like there was a lot of fans dressed as seats in those rinks. So.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. Well, I actually only played one game there, I think.
Oh, okay.
My whole career.
Yeah.
So most of the time I was just kind of chilling. We had, we switched hotels to a resort outside of town.
Yeah.
That used to be an old residential school. So it was really fun to just hang out there and, you know, they had a casino that we could go to, put $5 down on blackjack for a couple hours. And that was fun. And then, it was just like the mountains there, right? We're in BC. Like, it's obviously a beautiful place.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, it's an away game and, you know, we usually won.
That's so, all right. Yeah, nothing so, wrong with winning either.
There's nothing wrong with going to Kootenay for a day.
Right? Seven cities this year, obviously, that you're going to visit. Nine, if you count next year, although eight, because McEwen's still in Edmonton. But is there any one team that you're like, that's the team I'm going to beat? That's the team that every time we play them, I want to beat them. I mean, obviously all of them.
Alberta.
But, okay, good. I was going to say, Alberta's got like a WHL like mini all-star team there this year. They recruited 14 guys from the Dub. Are you basically going in to go, I know all of you and I'm going to beat them? I'm going to stone y'all.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's nothing I haven't seen before. So, you know, go out there and do my best, you know. We're all going to go do our best. You know, I know all the boys like playing U of Alberta because it's a fantastic test.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, if we win, you know, it feels great. So.
Bison had some good success against Alberta last year.
We have. So. And you know what? It's when I come into the room and I hadn't even played the game, right? All these boys are fired up, right? The team's happy. And, you know, it's a lot of fun beating the best of the best. Same with Saskatchewan, too. I want to beat them.
Are you... I know you don't go there until the end of the first half of the season, or at least in terms of the way that everything's scheduled up. November 29th, November 30th, are you going to continue the rivalry with the Lethbridge media when you go there?
No. I had a meeting with Mark, and he didn't like what I said.
Okay.
Got a bit of trouble for that one.
Okay.
And I don't want that again. So.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's all right. How are the U.S. cities for the Dub? A lot of people, again, maybe don't realize that there are a swath of West Coast sort of U.S. teams that are in there, but how are they for going to those places and playing there?
They're great. Like, it's so much different than the Canadian ones because they're the big cities.
Yeah.
Right. Kennewick, where Tri-Cities is, was a little lower.
Sure.
It was like a small town like Medicine Hat kind of, but Spokane's rink was crazy to walk into.
Yeah.
Seattle, I got to play in a couple times there and lose a couple games.
That's all right.
But
that's okay.
Their arena was super good for junior because it was just one bowl, but people were packed in there, and it was pretty intimidating the way that they get into it. The fans are a little bit more into it. Like, they always have the cheers going. They always have the chants going.
Yeah.
And you know what? They are on you if you're the OA team. So it was always fun to play down there. And Everett, too. Everett had a fantastic rink to play in. Yeah. So
Portland always had those viciously good teams too.
Portland, and TNT.
Yeah.
And goal song.
The one that you remember is that that's not a good thing if you remember the goal song.
Cody Glass slipped one 5-hole on me about 5 minutes into my first US start down there.
So, I remember that one. Cody. What are you doing, Cody? Do you think, again, you've been there, you know, you just described them. Do you think the NHL in Seattle is a good idea? In terms of the way that they obviously, I don't want to see the Thunderbirds lose fans. Like, that's my concern because they have such a rabid fan base down there. But do you think that getting the NHL into Seattle is a good idea?
Yeah, I hope it works. Like, if you look at it, like the Seahawks, right? The craziest fans in the NFL.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mariners are always doing good. That's right. That's the MLB team.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
And,
The Sounders with the MLS team that's out there, and they're always packed as well.
Yeah,
so.
Also like Calgary Hitmen, like there's no shortage of fans in Calgary.
True. Same
with Edmonton as well. Yeah. So, I don't think there should be no problem there for the Western Hockey League.
All right, that's good to hear because again, there's always that concern that one team may push another team out. So,
well, it's also the Western League. You see a lot more family fun out there too. So, I think it's more catered for them as well. So. Should have any problems out there.
If there's one thing, and again, I know what the ultimate answer is in terms of winning the U Sports National Championship, but if there's one thing that you want to be remembered for when your career is over with the Bisons, what would it be?
What a question. Remember for one thing. I was always big in the community.
Yeah.
So whatever I can do here in my hometown to give back, I'd love to be remembered for that as well.
That is a good answer. Are you going to join UMAC? Everybody who's anybody seems to join UMAC. So.
I need to learn a little bit more about it.
Okay.
Like, I haven't been around the school long enough to know what goes on there. But if it involves helping out, I'll be doing it for sure.
Sounds like our live man next door has finally arrived. They were like 2 hours late, so thanks for them for showing up. Obviously, big season coming up for you. What are you most excited for in terms of obviously getting on the ice and playing and getting into the season? But what are you most excited for when it comes to just getting into the games?
Hanging out with the boys,
right?
Like I get to be at the rink every day now, and obviously I'm missing this road trip right now. But I love just hanging out, even if I'm not even talking to the boys. I'm listening to them.
Yeah.
Make fun of each other, tell stories and stuff like that. So it's obviously great to be on a team.
Is there somebody that's, and I don't want to say this sort of negatively, but is there somebody that's sort of taking under his wing and been like, yo, like, I got you covered, don't worry.
Not really.
Like, no,
we're all equals, right?
Yeah.
So, everyone was out for breakfast this morning even, so.
Oh, right on. That's a good sign then in terms of everything's going. I'll ask you right now because we got a little bit of time. Predictions for this weekend because they're going to beat up on Zach and the Cougars this weekend. You think the team is ready to go? You think they're going to roll in there?
We're playing. We're playing Alberta and Calgary this weekend.
Do I have the schedule? Was I looking at the wrong part of the schedule?
You might be because we play Regina next weekend.
Oh, it's not even listed on your schedule yet. So okay, so Alberta and Calgary, are you guys ready? Alberta's already won a game. I know that for certain. They beat UBC 3-2. But do you think are the boys pumped, ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Yeah,
Mike had a good week of practice for us, right? Had kind of a plan of action for us, and we're gonna go out and we're gonna compete and see where we stand and. Try and fill out some roles for the regular season.
Right on. That is awesome. We got about 6 minutes to go here. Tyler, I'm going to give you the floor. Is there anything you want to promote that we haven't touched on yet? Like, obviously, again, you're involved in the community. You do lots of stuff or whatever. But is there anything that we haven't touched on that you think should be mentioned?
Maybe attendance on our games.
Sure.
Right? Like, students, you get in free to all Bison sports, right? All of our games. Obviously, the Winnipeg Ice is going to be playing here as well. So, obviously, those will be fun hockey games to come check out. And it's always going to be a good time, right? We're always going to put on a show. It's good hockey. And obviously, it's free. So.
If you're coming down as a student, it's free for sure. If you're coming down any other time, by all means, get in and get tickets because it's going to be a good season for sure. Mm. You guys are at home on the 28th, September 28th and 29th to welcome Lethbridge here. That'll be the start of the season. You get a conference bye after that, which that whole women's season kicks off at that point. Home opener and alumni night on the 28th, though. Is it literally just the waiting game now? Or are you just going like let's get it going?
I just want to play a hockey game.
Yeah,
I haven't played a hockey game in a year and a half or something like that.
Okay.
Now. So I just whatever hockey game comes my way, if exhibition, regular season, like
whatever you can do.
I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
So Regina here on the 20th and 21st, and you said you're suiting up for those ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll hopefully see you on those weekends, getting out there and playing. And then again, 28th, 29th, they do open their season. Tyler Brown, this has been fantastic. We are excited to see you play this season. Before we let you get out of here, obviously we said you mentioned him a couple of times on the mom and dad are probably pretty big influence in terms of making sure where you are, how you got here, everything, driving you to practices in the morning when you're younger and everything like that or whatever. Mm-hmm. We always try and make a point of saying thanks to the parents. Is there a shout out? Not them. It doesn't have to be them specifically. Anybody you want to give a shout out to though?
I'll give a shout out to my mom and dad and Dan Ferguson, who works at the rink. He has taken me under his wing since I have been about 11 years old, 10 years old. And now he also employs me.
So, there you go.
You know, he's been huge for my hockey career. He's taught me basically everything that I know technically about goaltending. And I'll be forever thankful for him as a friend and as a coach.
So, we didn't really dig into this, but you're coaching kids at the rink or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's your age group that you're focusing on?
My age group, it ranges. Like, I'll go pretty much all the way up to 20 years old.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, I had a couple junior A guys this summer that came and saw me. And right now I only work a couple days a week.
Yeah.
So I just get the younger guys, like 8 to 10 years old.
How much fun is it to work with those guys?
It's fun. You know, sometimes you just got to teach them how to skate. And that could be our 1 hour lesson. So, yeah, whatever they bring, it's always fun.
Not a lot of angles, more edges than anything else?
Yeah. So, T-push, like, please learn how to T-push.
Yeah, that's always an important skill to have for sure.
Yeah.
Tyler, we are excited to see you play this year. We want to make sure that the Bisons do extremely well. You can hear all of the games. I'm just going to pull up because I don't actually have it up on the screen here, and I probably should have had it on there. For those that are looking, all the games are going to be on UMFM's second stream this year. Again, you can catch all of those games. Just check the schedule for the Go Bison on GoBisons.ca to get all that information. The information we have for the Bisons in terms of being on 101.5 UMFM live over the air, I believe, if I'm looking down at this right now, I don't know if they've selected any of them yet, but they may have. No, they haven't selected any of them yet. So there's still a chance to get some of those games on. You'll hear at least four of them for sure, plus playoffs if and when the team makes it there, which will be awesome. Otherwise, all of the games are on the second stream for sure. You don't have to miss a minute of action. Also, check out CanadaWest.tv. You can catch the guys in action in every game if you're subscribed to the Bison's feed. I think it's about $30 a season or whatever to get that in there, which is also awesome. Jason and Evan Midford, Jason Pajak and Evan Midford will be the broadcast team for the men's team, and I'm sure they're going to have lots of stuff to do with you guys all season long, so be prepared for some of that on, I think it's this week in Bison Sports on Friday mornings. I'm sure you guys will get invited into a bunch of that stuff as well. Tyler, I cannot thank you enough for coming in tonight and talking to us and having a full rundown of your entire career thus far. And here's hoping that your career with the Bisons is just as successful or even more successful than where you were in the dub.
Thank you for having me on.
Not a problem, man. That was awesome.
A fantastic interview. Thank you.
We like to have fun with these interviews and have a little laugh at most of them. Not going to grill you too much on that. And we're glad that you joined us and certainly made it a little more fun for us tonight and get to know you. Because, like I said, we rarely get some of the men's guys in here because you guys are always busy doing practicing and all.
No, whole team's on the road right now.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You guys are on the road, so that's a little tougher to get you in here and get that done, especially when that's going on. But again, can't thank you enough. Door is always open. If you want to come back anytime, by all means, if you guys are doing anything charity-wise, anything like that, by all means, let us know as well, and we'll pump it up and promote it as much as we can here for you as well.
Okay, right on.
Thanks, Tyler. With that, we're going to get out of here. Free Range Radio with Skippy coming on right away here. So stay tuned for that, everybody, here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. It is Thursday. We will see you next Thursday, everybody.
It might not be the right time. I might not be the right one. But there's something about us I want to say. 'Cause there's something between us anyway. I might not be